We all experience discouragement. And we could say, generally, united today, that it is not a good feeling to be discouraged. Discouragements can hinder our progress in work, in study, in spiritual activities. Discouragements can affect our reading of Scripture, our prayers, and our labor for the Lord. Moses, the servant of the Lord, had a difficult time with the discouragements that came from the children of Israel. They spoke words after the return of the spies, words that were wrong, words that were evil. And they were a discouragement to the servant of God, to the people. And the Lord judged them, and they spent 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord, here as we see, is reminding the people of what had happened, and in the verse 28, it says, "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there." And these people were discouraged. These people were downcast, and through the discouragement, they discouraged the man of God. And the Lord tells us something in verse 38, which shall be our text. "But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." The Lord instructs his people in the change that will take place, in the servant of God coming to replace Moses, coming to stand in the gap as the leader of the people. He instructs the people to encourage him, to strengthen him, to build him up, to support him in the work of God. Men of God need encouragement today. And as we look forward to the change that will take place in a number of weeks here, there is encouragement that will be needed by the servant of God. There will be those encouragements that he will need as he seeks to labor here amongst you. Encouragement by attendance, encouragement through other means. And as the people of God, there is that responsibility upon us, like Israel of old, to encourage him. It's easy to get downcast and to be so trodden under that it is difficult for us to rise up again, humanly speaking. It is difficult for us to keep on going, to keep on walking down the road, the path that God has for us. We need the help of God. We need the support of the Lord's people. The prayers of others. I read an article last evening that discussed the results of a survey of 1,050 pastors, evangelical pastors, in America from 2005 to 2006. There are things that came up in the survey, questions that were asked that I don't necessarily agree with, and there were opinions given by the men that I don't agree with. And I'm not condoning the all of this survey, but there were a number of things that I noticed that have relevance to what we want to say today. Things that we need to consider. These men were surveyed at different conferences, and out of the 1,050 who were surveyed, 100% had a close associate or a friend who had left the ministry because of burnout, because of conflict, because of different issues. 948 or 90% of them stated that they are frequently fatigued and worn out on a weekly and even daily basis. 89% have considered leaving the ministry at one point in their life because of the stresses, because of the burdens. 71% of the state said they were burned out, and they battled depression beyond fatigue on a weekly and even a daily basis. However, 72% says that they only study the Bible when they were preparing sermons or lessons. 26% said they had regular personal devotions and felt they were adequately fed spiritually. And certainly that can have something to do with this, certainly a lot, and it is key. The importance of being fed spiritually, the importance of devotion is key, not only for the man of God, not only for the minister, but for the congregation as well. These men were coming out and saying that they were depressed, that they were tired, that they were burned out by their labor. The result of such a survey meant that, as they looked at it, that 1,300 pastors, they say, leave the ministry each month due to spiritual burnout or different other issues. He says that 50% were so discouraged they would leave if they could. These figures are astounding, and while we could say that perhaps the Bible study and devotion pops up there as an issue, there are several issues here. 70% constantly fight depression, so the survey says. And we can see then some of the modern day statistics regarding those who are in the pastorate. Discouragements will come to the man of God. Discouragements will affect the man of God. And like discouragements in the workplace or in the family or even in the church will affect each one of us. So they will affect the man of God. See, Spurgeon, when he preached in this text, he said that I believe there is a special occasion for the exercise of this duty of encouraging one another in the case of the minister and church in this place. He said, why, say you, should a minister need encouragement? He says, we have plenty of troubles all week long with our losses here and crosses there. We want encouragement, but surely ministers do not. It was Spurgeon who said, if you want to have a refutation of that idea, you'd better come into this pulpit and occupy it a little time. And certainly, he saw the great need, and when he was preaching in other places, of exhorting the people of God to encourage the man that God had given to them. It was Richard Baxter who said, God help the man who thinks the minister's life is an easy life. And certainly, when we look at Scripture and the men that God had set forth, Moses had problems, Moses had trials in leading the people, Joshua had to face problems, he had difficulties, he had to go and to lead the nation into a land, and that had its trials. And the Lord is saying here, encourage him. This encouragement was sure. If we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, the word is given again, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. If we turn to Joshua chapter 1, we see the Lord telling him, be strong, verse 6, and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, the man of God, was encouraged and strengthened time and time again. Was he of such a sort that he needed this special help, this special encouragement? Joshua was a soldier. He was a man who loved the Lord. He was a man who was brave. But yet, despite these characteristics, he needed that encouragement. The Lord is very clear in exhorting his people to encourage him, to get behind him, to support him. And certainly, while we consider the ministry of encouragement, we all need encouragement. The people of God being encouraged. We have difficulties day by day, trials on a daily basis, and we need encouragement. But specifically today, I want us to focus on the servant of God, encouraging the man of God. We see firstly here, the principle. In comparison to Moses, Joshua was a young man. In comparison to Moses, Moses lived for around 120 years. Joshua was not a young man, in the sense that I am a young man, apparently, but he would have been middle-aged at least. He was not a young person who was straight out into the position of leadership, but he's a man who had some experience, who had some knowledge. But he had been given this great task by the Lord of replacing Moses and leading the people of God into the land that had been promised to them. This was a great task. This was a task that had been promised over many years by the Lord previously, that he would bring his people into Egypt, but he would also take them out again. He would bring them back into the promised land. And there were changes in the promised land, in the land of Canaan, over the time that Israel had spent in Egypt. Many changes, cities had arisen, and other tribes, nations were found therein, and Joshua could not just leave the people in and take over. There had to be a conflict, there was a war. The people of God were going in to possess the land, to conquer the land for the Lord. And there was a conflict. There would be difficulties. There would be problems that the enemy brought before them. And this was a task that was not to be treated lightly. Joshua was flesh and bone. When we think of some of the Bible characters, we think of them in high esteem. Men of God, men who did great things, and that is true. But Joshua was not some sort of a superman. He was flesh and bone like us. A man who God used, a man whom we can learn from, a man whom we can respect, but he was just a man. As a man like you and I, he needed encouragement. He needed to be strengthened and to enjoy the support and the help of the people of God. This chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 1, contains a speech that records the history of Israel's journey up to this particular point in time. In verse 28 it says, the people were discouraged. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims, their giants. Men who were tall, men who were great. And these people looked upon the land with the eye of the flesh, and they saw what a great land it was, but they saw the difficulties. Moses had sent out 12 spies. Joshua was one of them. Caleb another. They came back with a good report. 10 others didn't. And the people listened to those who brought the evil report. The land was great. The land was good. But we can't conquer it. The enemy is too great. The city is walled up to heaven. What a discouragement that was to the people of God. The spies themselves were discouraged. They didn't think they could conquer the land. They passed that on to the people, and the people listened. They did not believe the Lord. They did not believe the Lord. Verse 32, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord. Moses spoke about how great God had been to them, how God had delivered them. The same people who didn't listen to the good report, the same people who believed the evil report, so those who had walked through the Red Sea. We can imagine ourselves that if the Lord opened up the sea for us to cross, over the dry land, we certainly, and we take away our doubts, we take away our fears. We would think, humanly speaking, looking forward, that our God could do absolutely anything. But Israel was different. They did not look back and see the great hand of God and use that as an encouragement for future service, for future labor. They were afraid of those in the land. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, one who had shown them great signs, mighty signs, one who was with them, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. Yet they failed to believe God when he said he would go into the land, he would give them the promised land. How sad that was. Moses, in verse 21, said, Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. For the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, Fear not, neither be discouraged. But yet, in verse 28, it's recorded that the people were discouraged. They rebelled because they were discouraged. It was a work and a labor for the Lord that needed to be carried out. The possession had to take place of the land. God had commanded it. But the people rebelled because they were discouraged. Well, how dangerous. How dangerous it is to discourage others. How dangerous it is to discourage others. There was discouragement all through this passage. Moses said, neither be discouraged, but the people were. They listened to those who were discouraged by what they had seen in the land. That discouraged them. And it snowballed from there, or it increased. Don't think we'll have any snowballs today in this heat, but it increased and increased. It had a knock-on effect. And if you discourage somebody, it will affect something later on down the line. And it is very easy to discourage people. It's very easy to come down upon them and say things, not even truly meaning it. Discouraging them by not fully realizing what we are doing. Discouraging them from going on with God. Discouraging them from serving the Lord. We need, as a people of God, to be careful how we interact with others and how we deal with others, how we encourage others or discourage others. It is good to encourage others. And certainly when I commenced preaching, there were people who encouraged. And that was good. Maybe if they told the whole truth, I wouldn't be here today because I would have been so discouraged. And there's other ministers, preachers of the Word of God, who have testified time and time again that when they preached their first sermon, they thought it was absolutely awful. I'm never preaching again, but the people of God encouraged. Opportunities were given. And great works for the Lord were done in days gone by. You'll see H. Spurgeon, who said that he would never preach. He taught a bit of Sunday school, but he would never preach. And the principal, I believe, of the school in which he was attending that particular time was trying to get him to preach, but he came up with a unique idea. And there was another young man, and he asked him and Spurgeon to go to take this meeting in this college in the country in England. And the other young man thought that Spurgeon was preaching, and Spurgeon thought the other young man was preaching, and the young man said to Spurgeon, you know, they were talking away, he says, I'll be quiet here, I'll give you some time to get your thoughts together as we travel. And Spurgeon said, what do you mean? says, well, you're preaching. He says, nobody was under the impression you were preaching. They realized what had happened. The young man said, well, I have no experience whatsoever. You teach Sunday school, give them one of your lessons. And that is how Spurgeon came to preach for the first time on that text. And Peter, but to you who believe, he is precious. And he preached for the first time. And certainly the people there were touched. But Spurgeon needed that little push, that little encouragement to begin a ministry that was blessed by God. It may not have been the best of the sermon, but there was encouragement that took place in his ministry and with other believers to enable him, encouraged him by the enablement of the Spirit of God to go forward for the Lord. And it is good to encourage others. Discouragement, however, could have the opposite effect. Humanly speaking, what if somebody turned round and absolutely went through Spurgeon for the sermon that he has preached? There may have been a different outcome. Humanly speaking, God is sovereign. But we should always be careful what we say. We should be encouragers. Men and women who want to encourage others, to help others in their Christian walk. But we ought never to discourage others. If there are to be rebukes and corrections, we must do it out of love. Love and concern. But here there was a disbelief of the Word of God. Verse 32 again. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. They failed to believe the Word of God. And when the people of God forget to believe the Word of God and fail to believe the Word of God, that will lead to discouragement. That will lead to problems. That will lead to rebellion. If we fail to listen to God, it will have consequences. If we listen to the Lord, there will be good consequences. If we fail to listen, if we neglect, there will be dire, sad consequences. These people fail to believe in God, and there were consequences. There were consequences. The Lord said, verse 35, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swore to give unto your fathers. See Caleb, verse 36, and Joshua, verse 38. The only two who remain, faithful men of God, the others fail to believe. As they fail to believe the Word of God, they were a discouragement to others. They were a discouragement. And so in the context of this passage, we see that there is discouragement. And in the context of verse 38, the Lord instructs that Joshua is to be encouraged. The people are engaged in the ministry of discouragement. Now, they're being told to engage in the ministry of encouragement. Joshua was to be strengthened. The people of God had a duty before the Lord. He had commanded it to encourage and strengthen the man that God had given to them as a leader. Spurgeon said that God uses his own people to encourage one another. He did not say to the angel, there is my servant Joshua about to take my people into Canaan. Go and encourage him. He sent word to the people of God, those with whom Joshua was working amongst, to encourage him. The people of God were to encourage the servant of the Lord. The people of God are the brotherhood in Christ, that you work together and encourage each other. There is a bond, a family bond. A family bond of brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should work together for the good of Christ's cause, encouraging one another. The parent encourages the child that takes his first few steps. And it's learning to walk across the living room floor, maybe moving from one seat to the next. current is encouraging it, looking out for the child as it's taking the steps and trying to encourage and strengthen it to keep on going, to reach the other side. I remember learning to ride a bike, and I had stabilizers on the bike to help me balance. And this is going back quite a while, to the early 90s, and it wasn't last year, it was the early 90s. And I was riding the bike as a young 4, 5, 6 year old boy on stabilizers so I could keep balance. The time came when I had to learn to ride the bike without the stabilizers. I kept falling off, and as you do, you go so far and then you lose balance completely. And you end up, thankfully it was the grass, and sometimes it was the concrete. But we're watchful eyes, so there was help given. Mom and Dad looked out and tried to help and stay alongside and to try to get the balance off the bike. There was encouragement. As the family unit, there was that encouragement to progress in walking, progress in riding the bike. And in the work of God, there should be encouragement, there should be strengthening. There should be kind words, words to edify, words to build us up, which are essential, but particularly necessary in times when it is hard, in times when we may fall off the bank, times we may not make it to the other seat, to use the illustration of the baby learning to walk. And there is the principle in the Word of God. The Lord says here to encourage, to strengthen. That is what the Word of God does. It strengthens us. It encourages us. The Lord Jesus Christ was one who encouraged. The Lord Jesus Christ encourages through His Word. The Apostle Paul encourages the believer. The Apostle Paul himself was encouraged. And so there is, in the Word of God, that ministry of encouraging others. But we see, secondly here, the practice. The people were to engage in encouraging the man of God. There was no option here, it was required. It was a command given by the Lord, encourage him. There was no Jedi clause, there was option to opt out of this. They were told, they were instructed, their duty before God was to encourage Joshua, to encourage the man whom God had given to them. As they were to encourage Joshua, they were not to be a discouragement. Notice that. They were not to be a discouragement. This is obvious from the context. There were those, as we touched on, who were discouragement, and that can easily happen again, and then the life of the nation of Israel could happen. We see the disheartening attitude of the people of God in Exodus chapter 14, if we turn back to that passage. Exodus chapter 14, the verse 10. People of God are at the Red Sea, and it says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They say, verse 12, For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. The people were discouraged. They saw the enemy of God marching in. And they thought it was better to be servants, to be slaves, to be those who were under the rod in Egypt, than to die in the wilderness. God said He would bring them out into the land that He had promised. They forgot those promises. The strength of the enemy made them forget what God had said. How sad that is. You see again in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, how that they were brought from the Red Sea into the wilderness, and they found no water. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days and no water in the wilderness. We can imagine the heat, certainly, that they felt in those days, and the heat like we experience at present. We need water. We need water to survive. And they found no water. They came to a place called Mara, but the waters were bitter. But instead of looking to the Lord, they murmured against Moses. They murmured against Moses. These people were constantly complaining, constantly discouraged. Time and time again, despite seeing the marvels of God's power, they were discouraged. God, they're part of the Red Sea. Could he not make these waters drinkable? And he did. But could they not have looked to that? Certainly there is the same things within us as there was in the children of Israel. Many times we turn aside and we fail to look to the Lord. Many times we can murmur and complain instead of focusing our eyes onto the God of heaven. In Numbers 11, verse 5, we see again their murmuring. We remember the fish which we did eat. In Egypt, really, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They remembered the provision that had been theirs despite slavery. They had these things. But they're now complaining over the food that they have in the land or in the wilderness that God has provided. We remember the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. They remembered the things that were in Egypt instead of the things that God was providing for them. They remember the food. They remember the fleshly things. And they longed for them. But now, our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. The people were discouraged. These discouragements would have affected the man of God. God said, concerning Joshua, encourage him. Encourage him. We ourselves will no doubt discourage others because we ourselves are discouraged. If we turn to 1 Samuel 30, if we are discouraged ourselves, that will pass on to others. If we are joyful, if we are rejoicing, that will pass on to others. If we are sad, if we are sorrowing, others will be affected by our attitude and by those things that bother us. The 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. What a terrible situation they were in. But David was downcast and discouraged. No, the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Here's the key. The key to avoiding discouragement. Discouragements will happen, but they can take over our lives. They can affect us from serving the Lord. They can stop others from serving God as well. How can we deal with discouragements? We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the power and the providence of God, in his promises, in his faithfulness, in the fact that God had made that covenant with him, that he belonged to the Lord. He remembered God's grace and God's goodness. He experiences which he has with his God. And he trusted God to give that help that he needed. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And when our time comes, when we are downcast and discouraged, let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. Let us strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Let us find that help from our God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse 10. Finally, my brethren, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be encouraged in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. That's what we need to be. Encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. And through the word of God, we obtain that help and that strength. And the Lord can encourage us through his word. But if we are discouraged, let us seek the Lord for encouragement, for our discouragements will lead to discouraging others. He will discourage others. But let us ourselves, when we are discouraged, seek the Lord. Others can have that ministry of encouragement to us, certainly, but let us seek the Lord for that encouragement. In order to encourage Joshua, these people, the people of God, had to be encouraged themselves. They were not to be a discouragement to him. They were to believe the promises of God. And then we see here that also they were to support Joshua. They were to support the man of God. There was a conflict coming in which they would be required to serve, and they were to support the work of God. They were to support the man that God had placed among them. A man who knew the Lord and followed the Lord's leading. But how can we support the man of God? Here, in this church, how can we support the pastor, the man who will have that oversight? We mentioned earlier the attendance of the services, prayer in private, prayer in the prayer meetings, helping and doing what we can in the work of God, the various activities. They can speak a word of encouragement to the pastor, to the minister. We can tell him about the help that he has been to us, the advice that he has given, the messages that he has preached. We can be faithful in the work of God. We can heed the word of God. We can live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. We can progress in our Christian lives. And these things are encouragements to the man of God. Consistent lives that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly there is that ministry of encouragement that we can all engage in. There are those who can encourage and do encourage. And I've been encouraged many a time amongst you. And these things are good because we're brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is to be that ministry of encouragement amongst us, for each other, for the man of God. And then we see finally, and our time's gone, the purpose. The purpose. So the purpose to this encouragement, we can see that the people were to realize and learn from their past mistakes and failures, and that is clear. They were discouraged in the past. They made mistakes. They failed God in the past because of discouragement. And they were to learn from these things to move forward with the Lord. It occurred to the man of God, the work of God would be advanced. And that is vital because God's work was hindered by discouragement. In order to advance it, the Lord said, encourage him. Joshua was the man of God who would cause Israel by the power of the Lord to inherit the land. For he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. God works through his servants. God works through the preaching of the word of God. honest amount of gold is encouraged. The rope of gold will be advancing. Joshua was to be encouraged because he was the man God had chosen to cause Israel to inherit the land. God always has his ministers, his pastors in place for a reason, to edify his people, to build up the work of God, to see souls saved. And as his people, we are to encourage. We are to build up. We are to help in order for the land to be inherited. There's a great land here. There is much to be possessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in this city, we could think of this entire continent, but even this area, the local area of this church, there is much to be possessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if the people of God are discouraged, the man of God is downcast, there will not be that possession of the land. We must be encouraged through the word of God, encouraging each other to go forth and to inherit the land, to possess the land that God has promised. And we see there's a great purpose here as well for the glory of God. This encouragement wasn't for the purpose of glorifying Joshua, but that God would be glorified for using Joshua as his instrument. God would be glorified because promises were kept. Promises were fulfilled by his power. God had promised to bring them into the land. They saw the power of God displayed in mighty ways. But by bringing these people into the land, Joshua wasn't to be glorified himself. It was God. It was all of God. How was Jericho conquered? By Joshua and his men clanging the walls and fighting everybody knew. They marched around the walls, they blew their trumpets. God stepped in. God brought down the walls. God gave the victory. It was through God that he might be glorified. And the great purpose of our work and encouraging each other to go out and inherit the land is that God may be glorified. Not man, not self, not the name of a church, not the name of a minister, but the Lord Jesus Christ. That our God would be glorified. Now, as you look forward to the new chapter in the work of God here, may you all, may we be encouragers. Those who encourage each other, those who encourage the man of God, as there is work to be done for the Lord. And may we be encouraged to encourage ourselves in the Lord and to have vision for the land that has to be possessed. And may we encourage the man whom God will send among us. And may the Lord bless his word in this afternoon for his name's sake. Amen. Let's close our meeting in prayer and let us seek the Lord, please. Our Father and our God, we turn to thee and we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the blessing that it is to us. So we pray that we as thy people would be encouragers. We would encourage each other. We would seek to edify and build up each other in the faith. We pray that if there be one of us who is struggling, one of us who is downcast, that by thy help, we could draw alongside and encourage them and strengthen them. And we pray for when our brother comes to minister here that thou wilt strengthen him as well. May thy people be encouragers to our brother as they work together, as laborers together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless us, we pray. Take us to our homes in safety. Continue with us. And do us good, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.